in the hereafter, in the akhirah, there will be hisab will be performed. And this is part of our iman, that we believe in this. Every man and woman who has iman has belief that our hisab will take place, that after maut there will be a life, and the accounting will take place, the reckoning will take place. After death there's the qabr, the grave, the hashr, resurrection, the maidan of resurrection, the maidan of the plane of judgment. We have the mizan, we have the bridge of sirat, we have the judgment scales, and then there will be the putting of us in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll be placed in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and question. This is all part of our iman. And after that, all of this is part of our belief. And then we know that there are two things that we have at that time in our possession, which an individual will present in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is that a person will present? One will be the good deeds. Out of the two things, one will be the good deeds, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Just like Ramadan is passing and we're earning good deeds, we're praying salah, taraweeh, and reciting Quran and tasbihat and remembering Allah. And these are good deeds, giving sadaqat, charity, and all of these are counted, or they are considered as good deeds. So the time that Allah Ta'ala has given a person in life, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, 80 years, and all of the good deeds that the person gathers together, implements, that will be accounted in the hereafter. Allah will do hisab. Allah will reckon and go through the deeds. And secondly, a person, what he will accrue is the sins, shaytan and the nafs will have made or influenced a person to do sins. And those sins will be presented in the court of Allah. Both things, the good deeds, the amal, and also the sins. We know this and we believe this. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, narrated a hadith. Let's pay attention to this hadith, that there won't be two courts, there will be three. There will be three. So there will be three things then, isn't it? Not just good deeds that will be reckoned, and not just sins that will be counted and considered, but there will be a third thing that will be also considered and accounted for and reckoned. What is that? And that will be a severe reckoning. Yes, one will be the good deeds, second will be the sins, and there will be a third thing that will be reckoned, accounted for, more severe. Hardship, we have to pay attention on this. We need to focus on this. We need to understand this. And that is such a factor that no one individual will be able to miss out of that. Everyone will have to do hisab of this third factor. Yeah, one is good deeds. Number two is sins. And the third thing is what? What's the third thing that will be reckoned for, or the factor that will be considered? That they are the ni'mas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember this point. We will also be accounted for these three things, three courts, three, you can say, considerations. One is the good deeds. How many good deeds did he perform? Two, sins. How many sins did he perform? And third, Allah will ask us about the ni'mas he gave us. And all life long we try to do two things. We try to leave the sins and we try to implement good deeds. But what about the third question that will be asked? So many ni'mas of Allah that Allah has given to us. Tell me, how can we be grateful for these? How can we repay this favor? How can we account for these? Allahu Akbar, Allah is great. How will I give hisab for this? How will I repay this? How will I be able to account for this? And there are also two types of ni'mah. From the third factor of ni'mahs, Allah has given two types of ni'mah. One are the bodily, physical ni'mahs. One are the spiritual, inwardly ni'mahs. The bodily, physical ni'mahs are common. And person who believes or doesn't believe, that everybody knows about, we have our body, physical bodies. This is a ni'mah of Allah. The whole body of a human being, everyone knows about the parts of the body with which we walk, talk, look, fulfill our shahawat, passions, desires, do what we want physically in the world. This is one element of the ni'mah of Allah. 50% or whatever percent you take. And secondly is the spiritual ni'mas of Allah, which is linked to the mu'mineen, the believers. What is in this? Allah's ibadat, Allah's worship, salah, fasting, hajj, zakat, all of these things that Allah Ta'ala gives. You're sitting here, is this not the ni'mah of Allah? Is this not the favor of Allah? And as I said yesterday, the biggest ni'mah from all of the ni'mas of Allah is that Allah Ta'ala has given us Ramadan. Allah has given us Ramadan. for which to be grateful for. If we had died 1 minute before Ramadan, would we have attained it? If we didn't attain Ramadan, we would have got nothing of this that we've attained, that Allah Ta'ala has kept within Ramadan, inside the month of Ramadan. And a man cannot think that if he was not to enter into Ramadan, he could not get it. So these are spiritual ni'mas in front of us. So my brothers tell me, from the ni'mas of Allah, we have the physical ni'mas and the spiritual ni'mas. So we keep a fast. What is keeping the fast? Is it not a ni'mah of Allah? Of course it is, keeping the fast. He's allowed us to. From this action of fast, we get so many good results. Is this not a ni'mah? What will be the reward of a fast in the hereafter? What is the reward that Allah Ta'ala will give to the person who fasts? Have we considered this? Such a big reward Allah Ta'ala has kept aside for fasting. Allah says, fast, this action is my action. It's for me. No action, as Allah said, this is mine, like salah is mine, or this is mine, or that is mine. But Allah said that fasting is mine. So the answer to this is this. Allah Ta'ala says, I'll give you the reward myself for the fast. So is this not a ni'mah? Is this not a favor of Allah? This is a great ni'mah of Allah. There will be hundreds of thousands of people have health, they have no excuse, they have body, they have health, they have energy, they have iman, they're eating. They're not keeping the fast. They're not maintaining the fast. And some say, fasting is for the poor people. In our house, we've got everything. We've got food. Some even say, oh, this was for the old time. They were poor people. They had no food to eat or water to drink, so they're to fast. And we've got food to eat. Oh, Fir'aun thinking. Fir'aun mindsets. Fir'aun ideologies. And this is a big ni'mah we're talking about, fasting. So one, as I said, when we come to the third thing that I'll be reckoned for, which is the ni'mahs of Allah. Physical ni'mahs and the spiritual ni'mahs. Yeah, so doing sajood, prostrating on Fajr, going to Isha, praying Salah. All of these are great ni'mas of Allah. If a person was to concentrate, focus spiritually, then if you find a wali of Allah, what a great ni'mah. Allah says this is one of the biggest ni'mas in your life, that if you focus and concentrate on a wali of Allah. This is about tabir. Yes, so to have love for somebody who's not your relative, and that link, that love, that connection is connected directly for the akhirah, for the hereafter, to love that person, to have his company for the sake of Allah, then this is the name of Allah. Allah has created all of this. Allah has created this. So to love somebody who is not even your relative, to love him for the sake of Allah, to have nisbat with him, to have connection with him, hundreds of thousands of people, and oh, leave this, what's this going to the teacher? I know how to pray, I don't need to go to my guide or teacher. I'll directly remember Allah. What's this always talking about? Don't people say this? I don't have a need for a sheikh, a teacher. So why isn't this coming to my heart and your heart, that we don't need a teacher, etc.? So Allah's massive karam that He's given us this ni'mah. And after that, we have to see what a big ni'mah Allah has given to us. If I had not met Hazrat Sahib, my sheikh, then would I be sat here? Astaghfirullah, in Ramadan, I'd be sat in a pub, maybe in this country or some other country, or in a gambling den, or in a casino, possibly. Isn't this the case? So what is all of this? What is all of this? Na'mas of Allah. So tell me, how will we answer for these na'mas on the Day of Judgment? So then Allah will ask, that this is the hisab. Hazrat Abdullah bin Masud radiallahu anhu said, okay, fine, good deeds, you'll be reckoned about for them. Sins, you'll be reckoned, you'll be accounted. So what about these na'mas? That praying salah itself is one ni'mah. One ni'mah. Your reading of Quran is one ni'mah. One favor of Allah. And hafidh of Quran, this is ibadah, this is one ni'mah. And you have to be grateful for this ni'mah that Allah has given. If you become an alim, and ilm, knowledge comes into your heart and chest, this is a ni'mah of Allah. You'll have to repay the favor. You'll have to account for this, pay the right for this. For an alim, he's got a big reward. The Rasulullah says something, he's from my deputy. They are the waris, they are the inheritors of the prophets. Subhanallah. So if an alim has a big maqam, then what about the accounting that he will have to go through? Allah will say, give the hisab for this ni'mah, boy. How did you repay this favor? How did you utilize this ni'mah, Allah will say? Did you fulfill the rights? So who will be successful in this? Ask a question. This is Ramadan, isn't it? We need to start thinking like this, shouldn't we? Shouldn't we? If we think now that, for example, while I was just walking or just passing through the day, these thoughts came into my mind, and I'm presenting my pain to you, that what's the answer with this? That who from us will pass in this test? Who from us will pass this exam? Of we have to repay the ni'mas of Allah, the favors of Allah. We have to fulfill the haq on the favors of Allah, the ni'mas of Allah. And those people will pass, the Quran has mentioned. Who are those people who will pass this test? That they will have fully fulfilled the rights of the ni'mas of Allah. In the hadith has been mentioned, there will be people who will pass. Why? Because obviously there will be people who will have prepared for this. Just like when a person's eyes open, and suddenly he'll see that, Allah, what a big ni'mah, I'm seeing the whole world. I've woken up in the morning and you've allowed me to see. But we don't know. We don't even consider our eyes. We think they're ours, body. When we listen, people listen, they cry. They say, Allah, I'm so grateful to you. I'm listening to things around me. Your hakams, I'm listening. But no, we're worried about if I had this much money. I've got no money today. Look, he's more wealthy. What shall I do? He's got a car. I haven't even got a gaddi, a car. He's getting married. I don't even have a wife. We start crying and we start regretting and we start complaining. Allahu Akbar. So this is the objective of our life. These wretched minor things that will finish. Even for these, we forget Allah. We're unhappy with Allah. And half of the world is unhappy. Why doesn't Allah give me money? Why isn't Allah giving me wealth? We don't see this point, that this moment in time, in this heat, there are people who are fasting in their homes, they have no ceilings, they have no roofs. Are they not keeping the fast in the intense heat, severe temperatures, on this intense hot earth? There's no water, no cool water, they don't know about food, they don't know where to sit, but they know at that time maybe the pain will come to our body, but they have iman. Have we ever compared ourselves with those people who are living in extreme hardships? When we sit in this world, eat and drink, enjoy, and we say, I haven't got enough money. Why has he got more money? Why is his business flourishing? Why is my business not flourishing? Why is his going better? Why have I got less money? Why is my car not like this? Why is my car like this and not like that? Is this a life? Is this a way of living a life to compare ourselves? Is this a tariqah, the life that will end very quickly? Is this the way to live our life? To live our lives and need our lives? To worry about and to hope for things that are not within our control and compare ourselves to others? Okay, we've hit the bullseye. I've not eaten in the morning. And I haven't had breakfast and we'll do iftar in the evening. We fasted. I remember a statement of my husband so quickly. He used to breathe a sigh. Cool sign said that, do you know what hisab we have to give in the hereafter? We didn't understand that time. The pain that must have been in Hazrat's heart on every maqam, how he, the great personality, my sheikh, would have prepared for that time to come in the hereafter. These were those people. They were normal people. They were those people who had prepared. They had prepared for these three factors: the good deeds, the sins, and the ni'mas that Allah Ta'ala has given to me, to us. How will I account for these in the hereafter? How will I answer for this? Because death will come like a sudden jolt. For the sake of Allah, let's pull ourselves together and improve ourselves. Let's understand, what are we? What are we here for? We eat, drink, stand, sit, business, walk. We have no figure. Where's it coming from? Where's it going? We are people of iman. Yes, and we'll be asked properly, questioned correctly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us such examples that everything in our body, there's nothing that we can escape from. For example, illness and health and food, nourishment. A person could be extremely ill, nothing to eat, nothing to drink, but he's remembering Allah. He's saying that I'm the worst. Allah, I'm the worst. Allah, you've given me the most. And he's saying that everyone else around him is the best. So here, to yourself and to myself, ask a question. Forget about asking you. You are pious. Ask myself, because it's me that I'm addressing to. That this kitab or the hadith, this is for me. And this is not something that is scientific that we need to understand. This is a logical factor. Tell me, inshallah, we will pass this question as well. People, so do you want to pass? Do you want to pass the test? I cannot hear anything. Inshallah, put your hands up if you want to pass. Then I'll tell you the result, how to pass the test. It's Ramadan. Do you want to pass? Or you're going to give the answer yourself, or the answer you're going to give to Allah. That in the third question, in the third court, fair enough, I know you'll take good deeds, you're pious, mashallah, they're brothers, we've done long chillas and long work, hard work, and good deeds you've implemented. You'll give the hisab of your good deeds, and you'll give the hisab of the sins, because you don't do sins. But who will give the hisab of the third factor? The ni'mas of Allah, the gifts and the rewards, and all of the favors of Allah. Subhanallah. So how will we give this hisab? Even doing good deeds is one of the ni'mas, from the ni'mas of Allah. How will we answer to Allah? But alhamdulillah, people will pass this test. Who? Which people? In this court, the individual will pass the test when Allah Ta'ala will ask that I give you so many ni'mas. Then Allah Ta'ala says themselves, وَذْكُرُوا كَثِيرًا لَعْلَكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Subhanallah. Allah has given the answer himself. That all of the ni'mas are given you, and only that person can pass the test and repay my favors and account for the favors of him who does my dhikr. Allah says, وَشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. The Quran tells us. Hasn't Allah Ta'ala said this? That shukr, be grateful. Be grateful. Don't reject my ni'mas. Don't do kufr. Don't do kufr. So every ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's, what is this? What we need to see here?
that the haqq of the ni'mas, wallah, this is the word haqq here, aha, that Allah Ta'ala will say that the ni'mas that I gave to you, how did you fulfill the rights, the eyes, the tongue, your physical, spiritual ni'mas, all of the gifts I gave to you, assets, limbs, organs, how will you fulfill the rights of this? وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَكُمْ تَفْرُونَ. Allah, I did your dhikr kathira. Allah remembered you. Allah said, ah, you've passed, go. Go. Go and enjoy it. Every ni'mah of Allah that He's given to us in this universe, how do we repay the favor? How do we fulfill the rights of the favors of Allah? By doing the dhikr of Allah. There are millions and billions and trillions of ni'mahs of Allah. When you stand up, do the dhikr of Allah. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. This is not a tax. This is not a burden. That Allah Ta'ala is not doing dhulam on us by saying that you have to remember me. Rather, Allah has given us His favors that look, that the dhikr I've given to you, you can do dhikr awake, standing, sitting, lying down, because every second my name has come to you. And you can never repay my favors, but yes, if you do one action, which is my dhikr, then automatically you'll be repaying my favors and fulfilling the rights of my favors and gifts to you. That's why I've understood that the walis of Allah who took hold of the dhikr of Allah, great ulama, respectful scholars, muhaddithin, they were fana, immersed in the dhikr of Allah the most. Why? Why? When it was night, the night was passing, they leave their kitabs, they start doing dhikr of Allah. Whichever muhaddith you take, whichever great personality you take, you'll see a part of his life is consumed in dhikr of Allah. He was the biggest dhakir in that time. You will see this. The friends of Allah, their khanqas that were filled at that time, the people would illuminate the khanqas because they wanted to do dhikr. We think of Wali Allah, well, let's just go to him, ask him to do dua for us, ask him for this and X, Y, Z, and this is our approach. But we don't understand the reality of the Wali of Allah, that Allah Ta'ala has made him his friend. Why? Why? There's a reason. Allah Ta'ala has announced himself already, فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. That the person who remembers me, then he is being grateful for my ni'mas. He's on a high status, on a high grade, on a high level. He's on such a high maqam that he's with me and I'm remembering him. Allah says that we are together. He asks and I give him. He asks, he requests and I reply. He questions and I reply. And I send ilham, inspiration in his heart, and I make his heart happy. He doesn't look with his eyes, but he starts to look with the eyes of the heart. This is called kashf, vision, ilham, inspiration. Because wahi comes on the anbiya. But kashf, ilham, on the awliya Allah, this is haqq, this is truth, this is proven. There's dawah for this. Many awliya have claimed this. As Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullah, said that in my hand, the world is in my hand. This was his statement, or maybe some other wali of Allah, that the whole world is there, and it's like there's a seed on my hand, like a pea. Man, I can see it. I can see it. So is this a small maqam? Why was he given this maqam? فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. This is such a big maqam Allah gave. That you are mine, O wali, my friend, you are mine. And all of what power you have, I have given to you. I've made you my friend. I've made you my friend. You are with me all the time. So if such a big maqam is given to an individual, from which worship did that person attain it? Through the dhikr of Allah. Through the remembrance of Allah. So my friends, we should do dhikr. It's a great na'am of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. Only those people will pass the test in the hereafter, in the third question, the third court. The Allah will say, how did you fulfill the rights of my ni'mas? Only that man and woman, brother or sister will pass who do the dhikr of Allah. Not dhikr, not that dhikr, do dhikr in the morning, do it in the evening. No. Allah Ta'ala says, I've given you an amount. What is that? Kathiran kathira. High quantity, only that person who does dhikr kathira, and you can only do dhikr of Allah kathira in one way. That's qalbi dhikr. That's the dhikr of the heart. That's it. There's no other way to do dhikr and kathira kathira. You can't learn this from the book. You can't learn this from tasbih. You have to only get, you can only get this from the gathering of the wali of Allah. Remember this. Remember this. You can only get this through the exchange of heart to heart. You have to pick up the slippers and do khidmat and serve, struggle and love the wali of Allah. You have to have itiqad and belief and conviction and get close to wali Allah and do his khidmat and serve him. You have to listen to somebody. You need to crush your desires for somebody. You'll have to accept the words, every word of that person. That is the criterion for success of the student. That's when a person will say that, ah, I'm doing the dhikr of Allah in my heart. Yes, the more a person, a student becomes fanafi sheikh, subhanallah, say subhanallah. The more a student becomes immersed and lost in his sheikh's company and presence and his sheikh's character, then the more his heart becomes alive. The more your well is sweet, the more the well is sweet and deep, the more better the water will come out. If it's a deep well, if it's sweet water, more people run to it. In the same way, the heart of the awliya Allah, the heart of the Shaykh, it's a fountain of marifa, fountain of the nearness of Allah. And the more the student immerses himself in the Shaykh's character and personality, the most the greatest reward Allah Ta'ala gives is that his heart straight away directly is focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rujuh. Great dua Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that, oh Allah, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us duas, isn't it? That, oh Allah, please allow my heart to be focused and turn to you. The pious elders have said, what does this mean? This is a whole chapter that's been opened here after Rasulullah's dua. That Allah, allow my heart to focus on you. This is not some small dua. Oh Allah, give me roti. Oh Allah, give me chapati. Oh Allah, give me clothes. Have we ever asked this dua? That put your hands up. That Allah, open my heart. Allah, allow my heart to be focused on you. How many have asked this dua in the night of Ramadan? Does anyone ask this dua? Does any sister, any woman, any man, any brother, when we do iftar and break the fast, do we ask this dua? We have our own lists. What a beautiful dua. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. Allah, please focus my heart towards you. Will you remember this dua? Allah, say it loudly. Oh Allah, my heart, please turn my heart towards you. This, make this your dua of Ramadan. What a great gift Allah Ta'ala has given us in Ramadan. Ramadan's given us this gift. What a great dua. And inshallah, if this dua is accepted, then it will be the best. The person, you'll be the best of people giving hisab and fulfilling the rights of the ni'mas of Allah and the day of judgment. You'll go in such a way that there'll be people who won't be able to repay the favors of Allah, the ni'mas of Allah. They'll be stood there, grabbed, and they'll be punished. They'll have all the good deeds they did and the sins they left, but they would not fulfill the rights of the ni'mas of Allah. But the person who does this dua, Allah, turn my heart to you. Allah, make my heart focus on you. Allah, correct my heart to you. Then alhamdulillah, his heart is a dhakir. Oh, my heart isn't alive. I do so many tasbihs. I can't feel that my heart is alive. How will you find out? If you're not fanaful zat-e sheikh, then you'll realize, lose yourself in the character of your sheikh. This is called fanaful sheikh. Listen to his words, accept his words, obey him. Not just this, you imitate him the way he dresses and you're fanaful sheikh. This isn't the method. One brother said, I'm fanaful sheikh. I said, why? He said that you wear the dhoti like this, I wear the dhoti like this. Ah, I said, subhanallah, you wear this ring, I also wear this ring. He said to the sheikh, this individual, that we don't even have this many manners, then how should we sit with the sheikh? We sit cross-legged and they spoil my own salah, they spoil their own salah. What a big disrespect, manners lost, bear with me. They sit in the class, you cross-legged. Do you understand cross-legged? The person, subhanAllah, 10 hours, a person who could not dare, I sat 10 hours, 15 hours, well, the whole day and night I sat in front of my sheikh. My body would tire, but I could never imagine that I will cross my legs and raise my neck and look at him in his face and sit in front of, like, broad-chested and bigoted. We have no shame, no haya. So what will Allah give to that student who has no manners? Try to understand. When we explain something, oh, this is shirk. Oh, you're saying adab of the shirk. This is shirk. Astaghfirullah. Shirk? What kind of shirk? A poor person, he's not even farig, he's a new alim. He was in the final year, he was becoming an alim. Graduate. He stopped me in the roadway. That boy, he said, I want to ask you something. I've learned ilm. He's in the final year, graduating. And I said, mashallah, you're an alim. Please tell me, I'm jahil. He said, he hadn't even finished Bukhari. He said, I see that people who sit with you, they say salam to you, they bend their heads. This is shirk that's happening here. Shirk. I said, look at your face, and look at your height, and look at your ilm, and you're giving a big dawah about which jamaat, that you're making everyone mushrik right away, in one way, in one go. The people of dhikr, people are doing dhikr, they're mad, he said, sitting here. Imagine the ignorance, the illiteracy, that insan, that can a person do shirk when he's doing good? Allahu Akbar. Such a big line. A person who's learning ilmiyat, learning knowledge, become an alim. And will a sheikh make his student do shirk? That bow to me and worship me, astaghfirullah. What was the adab of the sahaba ikram, the noble companions? So all of these things are learnings and manners and etiquettes. The person who doesn't want to do anything, who's an ignorant, who wants to deviate others and who wants to stay like a monkey in an ape, he thinks like this. But we should say, alhamdulillah, close your eyes, have conviction, taqleed, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, sharia and sunnah, that's the path that you need to see. Not the path of bid'ah. Not the path of bid'ah, innovation. And the sheikh is he who will teach you sharia and sunnah. That is the sheikh. Not the person who will teach you bid'ah and innovation. Maybe he's a magician. temporarily. He'll show you things, supernatural things. It can happen. It can happen. He'll show you so that you submit to him. I'll show you what your heart's feeling like, what you're thinking. And he'll show shayateen and jinn, and the shaitan and jinn that work with him. They say, oh, he came, he ate this. The jinn told the shaykh, oh, you ate this at home. Ooh, my sheikh, he's a great wali wala. I just did this at home and he told me what I did. And that person, he's got jinns working for him. Evil forces working for him. Is there some big thing? No big thing. No big deal. He's a magician. But the wali wala is he. When you are in his company, you will attain akhirah, nearness to Allah. And you should be lost in his character, not in the character of the bid'ah, these innovators, the magicians, my brothers. Yes, we should be lost and immersed and in love with the true, genuine sheikh. That you take my hand for this reason and you give to me salam for this reason, that I will make you do shirk. You give me a fatwa standing there outside the masjid. Outside the masjid. Yeah, this is our hal today. So my brothers, my colleagues, this zamana, this generation we're in, is this generation of fitna. And in this generation of fitna, to find the right path is very hard. And when you find the right path, then people don't let us travel on that path. They don't let the individual travel on that path. Many restrictions come. Nafs and shaitan deviates from inside, but externally people deviate. But remember my words, if your hand is in one hand is the Quran, and in the other hand is the Sunnah of Rasulullah, he can never go astray. Never go astray. Remember this point. He can never go astray. That if you weigh everything with your sheikh's company, then weigh it in the scale of the Quran and the Sharia. That dua I told you was the dua. The Allah, please turn and focus my heart towards you. Allah, please turn my heart towards you. Focus my heart towards you. So that my heart can pay attention to you. And this is the whole of tasawwuf in this dua with the fadl of Allah. Yes, that Allah give me such a sheikh who can enlighten my heart and turn my heart to you. This is the part of the dua. So in here you're asking for a sheikh, you're asking for the straight path, you're asking for a true guide, you're asking for the reformation of the heart, and you're asking for the straight path, and then the ni'mas of Allah in the hereafter. You want to be saved from the severity of the hereafter, and you want to pass the test and the examination. And in this dua everything comes. So my brothers, do dhikr, remember Allah, do dhikr as much as you can with every breath, do dhikr, walking, talking, sitting, up, down, appreciate dhikr, value the people of dhikr, value the teachers of dhikr, value the gatherings of dhikr, and in opposition to this, the shaitani thoughts and whispers come to your heart and ears, ignore the people, ignore how you're doing wrong, he tells you to do this wrong, forget them, carry on with your job, don't debate with anyone, don't argue with anyone, just close your eyes and carry on with your action and practice. Inshallah, you'll get success. Through dhikr, you will get success. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Ameen.